to the Songwalk Echoes podcast. I'm Jeff Peterson, inviting you to join Soundwalk Echoes founder Don Prisby and me as we recall the beauty of our Catholic legacy through music, art, scripture, and story. Let's take a song walk.
Give glory to God in the highest. Give glory to God in the highest. Give glory, glory to God in the highest. Peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest. Peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace to his people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Give glory to God in the highest. 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 Give glory.
All right. Oh, that is Songwalk founder, author, songwriter, and cantor of cool, Don Prisby. Wow. With a piece called Glory, an original work composed, actually part of a whole mass that Don composed and performed right here to give a rockin' soundtrack to conversion, the second of six stages of faith we are exploring here in season four of the Songwalk Echoes podcast, and specifically how those six stages show up in the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, the big one that we all know. As a reminder, all of our Songwalk episodes, just like everything in the Songwalk Echoes platform, are presented through the four dimensions of music, art, story, and scripture. And Don, we're going to talk about that piece and its connection to conversion. And that's going to be in my head all day. I love it. So we'll get to it in just a second. But, you know, before we do, we're still kind of early enough in season four, a couple episodes under the belt. But it might be a good idea just to kind of briefly just remind people of what we're doing here and what we're intending to do this season by revisiting these six stages of faith. This is now our third season looking at these six. We've looked at them through different dimensions. Now we're looking at them through the dimension of the Our Father. So maybe just give us a reminder of really what are we aiming for this season.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. Yes, this morning we're going to look specifically about the notion of conversion in a couple of the phrases of the Lord's Prayer. But yes, overall, this season, we're looking at the six stages observed in the Our Father. And briefly, I'll just frame these up so people will have those in their minds. No real detail on this, but you'll see that as we unpack them episode by episode. So last episode, we talked about vocation. vocation in the words "Our Father," that those implied a vocation of an invitation into a relationship. Today we're talking about conversion, and in the words, "Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we saw conversion in the Mass, where we turn in the penitential rite in right relationship to one another and to God. So to say, "Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," implies a certain relationship acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. So conversion. Then mission, we'll explore that in episode 3 in "Thy Kingdom Come," the mission of the church to make the kingdom of God known. Then we'll talk about transformation. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Look at that transformation, that "thy will be done on this earth as it already is in heaven." That's so powerful. Then we'll talk about providence. How are we provided for? Then we'll go to the words, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil."
Yeah.
So that's give, forgive, lead, and deliver, the way that God provides for us. Now we think the Lord's Prayer is over, yet we always pray that addendum, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." Mm-hmm. That's gratitude. Gratitude coming from the word grace, which also has a derivation of meaning of giving, to give. So we're giving God his due when we're saying, "For thine is the kingdom, may thy kingdom come, the power that your will would be made known, and the glory that your name would be glorified." So we see those six stages, all right, in the Lord's Prayer observed there, and we're going to unpack those over the next, over this season.
Yeah, so cool. And just as we've said, there's nothing, God does nothing in vain. Nothing is by chance. Like, "Oh, well, that seemed to work." It's like, no, pretty much that was probably a plan all along there. So let's get to that. Let's get to the song. So we're going to talk about the M. Again, such a great way to kick off. And obviously very familiar lyrics there, pulling from the Mass and the Gloria. So talk about how that the actual Gloria itself is a great, like I said, kind of soundtrack introduction here today to conversion.
There's a number of ways why it seems appropriate. One is it's when we talk about conversion in the Mass, we do it during the penitential rite, and one of those prayers in the penitential rite is the Gloria. So I thought, well, that works in terms of we're talking about a theme of conversion as we observed it in the Mass, and now we're going to observe it in these words, "Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So there's that. The other piece is the theme today is going to be about distance and nearness. This God who is almighty, but a God whom we call Abba.
Yeah.
That distance and nearness. And the Gloria is the song of the angels to the baby Jesus when he was born, indicating this baby came so near to us. But it's the heavenly hosts singing glory to God. Mm-hmm. So there's that distance and that closeness. And we're going to see that from Pope Francis. We're going to see it a little more obscurely with Romano Guardini. And we're also going to see it in the Catechism today.
I love that. And as I was listening, and that's what I think is so neat too, Don. You have such a great way of taking these very familiar aspects, whether it's of the Mass or the Lord's Prayer, and just helping people really reflect on them, pray through them differently. And so as I was listening to that rockin' version of the Gloria there, I was thinking, you know, that's also, it ties back to what we're talking about today in this segment of the Lord's Prayer with, you know, so we're acknowledging that God is in heaven, you know, allegedly very far away, and then hallowed be thy name, so, which is the glory, like we're actually saying those words, you know, we're giving glory. But it is at the same time so accessible. It's so near. It's right here, you know, and we are joining in those, the angelic, you know, whatever the angels in. So like you and I, every time we sing it, we're blessed with the opportunity to sing that in communion mm-hmm. with the angels, in communion with all the saints, in yes. communion with all these people that have gone before us that have done much bigger things than we'll ever do. But that's how great our God is. Yes. Like, we all get to participate in that.
And yet we also do that in communion with the people around us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even
yeah.
you and me.
Yeah.
Just normal guys.
Yep, totally, totally. Well, hey, that aspect of distance and nearness is also very evident in the art that you've chosen for today's big show and this part of this, you know, this stage of conversion. Now, for those loyal listeners to the podcast, first of all, thank you very much. But as you're looking at the little thumbnail for today's episode, it might look familiar, although we got a little creative with the actual presentation of it. But it is indeed a little bit of a repeat of a piece of art that we've used in past. In fact, I think it was season one. So it's Michelangelo's Creation of Adam, which is there on the Sistine Chapel. And for those that don't know it by name and you're not looking at the thumbnail, it's the one with the two hands, right? You got Adam, God, fingers coming together. And again, I think that is such a great balance, Don, of both the sort of lofty, you know, kind of like hallowedness, you know, that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, but also that closeness that we can get. We can literally touch God, you know, the touching of God's hand. So talk about how, you know, this familiar, very familiar piece, and even familiar in this show, we've used it in the past, but how are you literally seeing this piece a little bit differently now as we talk yes. about conversion here?
Well, last time we talked about it, there were two elements to it. One is there was the creation of Adam by God, mm-hmm. so God reaching down and touching his creation. And then we saw that same art motif in the Caravaggio painting of the Calling of Saint mm-hmm. Matthew, mm-hmm. where it's, if you look at the picture, it's the same Caravaggio who studied Michelangelo. It's the same finger pointing at Matthew. Yeah. So he's now we've created the person, and now we're calling them. So this sense of majesty and near and distance, but also nearness in a calling. Mm-hmm. So today, I would invite our listeners not to be focusing on God's finger, but on Adam's finger reaching out to touch God, because as we are exploring this notion of who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, it's our response to the Lord. We are turning to, converting to the Lord. We are reaching up to touch God from our perspective. Mm-hmm. So that was the kind of the nuance of that, another look at those, at that painting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and someone else that all of our listeners will know, or at least be familiar with, Pope Francis, name dropper there, is you know one of the three additional kind of resources, references that you're bringing to us this season, Pope Francis, Romano Guarini, and the Catechism itself, as three really good additional, almost like little bibliographies, whether they're by people or by by paper, that we can be using throughout this season. And so anyway, Pope Francis is one of those, and he wrote or has spoken on this. It's not a paradox, but kind of the juxtaposition between, you know, the Father's, like, you know, awesomeness and greatness, yes. and but also the closeness. So talk a little bit about what Pope Francis has specifically kind of reflected on that.
I just love his tone in his book on the Lord's Prayer, on yeah. the Our Father. As we remember last week, he talked about the orphanhood mm-hmm. of man.
Yeah.
And he challenged men to be more engaged with their families. So he's very warm, but he also has some wonderful theological perspectives. And this one, he doesn't disappoint. First of all, he talks about the greatness of God, looking at it in Scripture, from the God of Sinai, who appeared on the mountain, was in light and thunder and smoke to Moses, and very terrifying,
yeah.
This sense of distance. And yet, of tenderness to Abraham, that he was close by. You know, he says, I am the God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. But that God is very close. God is a God of glory, but he walks with you even when it is necessary. He indicates that. Mm-hmm. So this sense of the God of thunder and the God of intimacy with Moses and Abraham. But the most endearing story he talks about is his notion of his own dad, that the father who brought him to get his tonsils out. And back then they didn't use any anesthesia. They just reached down there and clipped them out. But then after that, his dad gave him ice cream. And then the later story, he says they took a cab home and they got in the cab and drove home. And at the end, his dad was paying the cabbie. And the Pope, as a child, said, Father, why are you paying him? He says, well, I must. It's his car. And the Pope, as a child, said, but I thought you owned all the cars. Oh. So to Francis, his father was a man of great power, that he would own all the cars in the world, but would also give him ice cream when he's suffering. Just precious. What a wonderful perspective of distance and majesty and intimacy and closeness.
And so speaking of that intimacy as well, the Catechism also is quite specific about in terms of and related to the passages that we're focusing on today in the Lord's Prayer, and in this notion of, you know, who art in heaven, you know, that heaven isn't, you know, this distant, faraway place, you know, up in the clouds or whatever. But it is, it's not just a place. It's not a place. It's actually, it's an ethic. It's a way for us to be treating each other, to be in relationship with each other and God. So how does that also kind of help us? And you know, it's kind of like every time we're going to say the Lord's Prayer now, Don, we're going to be thinking of these words, this little segment, so much differently, and not thinking like who art in heaven. You know, it's like, oh, no, God's not at home. You know, he's not like sitting in his living room in heaven. That's not what we're saying when we're praying the Lord's Prayer.
Right. The church is acknowledging, yes, that God is in heaven, you know, is all powerful in that way. But it's also saying that thou art in heaven is a way of being. Mm-hmm. It's a way that we are the church. We're called to be in the world. We're called to be in relationship with God. And you and I are called to a way of being.
Yeah.
And we covered that in episode one of season one, when we talked about we're made in the image and likeness of God. So in this case, God is distant, but he's also as close as our own disposition, mm-hmm. the way that we act, being made in his image and likeness.
Yeah.
So that's the Catechism's perspective.
And yet it requires, and back to the theme here, the stage that we're focusing on, of conversion. Like, it does require a conversion of heart. Like, we have to be open to receiving that, to be graced by it, and then to actually, you know, do it. You know, it's not just natural, you know. It's not just because we say the words, all of a sudden, you know, like the actions follow, right? I mean, there is, something has to change.
Right. I mean, it does ask for our collaboration and our cooperation. Gratefully, God did create us also with freedom.
Yeah.
So we need to be aware, and we need to freely experience that conversion, to be his image and likeness, and to make his presence known here.
Yep. Well, and to also, I think, be asking, praying, petitioned, you know, God listens and prayer works. And so as we segue to the scripture here, which is the shortest scripture passage so far here in the Song Walk Echoes podcast, it's one verse from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So, and what I love about that, and the connection now that I'm making back to what we were just saying, is it, like in that passage, you know, the disciples, they're hanging out with Jesus every day. You'd think, that, you know, they're just happy to be there. You know, what are we doing today? You know, just fine. But yet here they're still asking, okay, what more? How should we do this? How do we get converted here? You know, how do you want us to do this? So talk about how does that specific request, I guess, really help us process this stage of conversion within the Lord's Prayer?
This was a really inspiring and eye-opening insight for me this week about the Lord's Prayer and what they were asking for. Let's imagine the apostles and the disciples are with Jesus, and they've seen so many things. They've seen one of them walk on water. Mm-hmm. They've seen the multitude fed. They've seen people healed of their blindness. They've seen the lame walk. And then all of a sudden they're asking, Lord, teach us to pray as John's disciples did. What does that mean? And Guardini is saying, by Jesus' response, we can see that they're not asking, teach us how to pray. Because if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's not an instruction of how to pray. Right. It's for what do we pray? And think about that with the followers of Jesus have seen so much already, mm-hmm. but they're asking, but for what should we pray?
Yeah.
They're moving from one level to another level. And it might be like you and I, where we may consider the Lord's Prayer kind of one of those rote prayers, that we pray. But now we're looking at, for what do we pray when we look at the Lord's Prayer? And Jesus responds to them three things: that God's name would be glorified, that his will would be done, and that his kingdom would come.
Yeah.
Pray for that, he says to them.
Yeah.
If we look at his response. So that's exciting. Now we could look at, well, they said as John's disciples taught him to pray. So they are aware of those people following John the Baptist. Well, let's imagine, because there's nothing that tells us what John the Baptist, you know, gave them to pray for, but we can imagine, since he was a baptizer, he was praying about repentance,
yeah,
and he was praying about the kingdom to come.
Yeah.
So we see those two themes in the Lord's Prayer. So they're common in that time.
Yeah.
But not to get too wrapped around the axle on this, but the apostles were asking, or the followers were asking, for what should we pray? And the Lord said, you know, pray that God's name would be glorified, which is a hint back to what? The commandments, yeah, that thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, or anyone's name in vain. So that's very critical, that that his name would be glorified, that his kingdom would come, and that his will would be followed.
Yeah, you know, another way to that, as I'm listening to you explain that, you know, they were asking, you know, for what do we pray? Another way that I'm thinking of it is, I know the what, but what's the why? You know, why are we doing this?
Sure. Well, when we look at our own faith development, you know, spiritual direction tells us that we are always in the process of becoming. So we learn the what when we're young.
Yeah.
And then we begin to ask the what for.
Yeah.
And the why, yeah, that's just part of maturing.
Yeah.
And there comes a time where we need to do that, which is one of the neat things about our conversations, Jeff, is we're really not teaching anything new. We're remembering together, and mm-hmm. we're asking the questions, why?
Yeah.
And what for?
Yeah, and I love the what for. That's actually an even better way to say it than the why, because I think sometimes, talk about getting wrapped around the axle. That's sometimes you get into those why conversations. It's like, oh my gosh. But the what for, I think, yes, is more, and I think is an even better way to especially internalize this kind of conversion thing. It's like, okay, what are we doing this for? All right, so Don, as we go through our little acronym here of the MASS and we get to story, a lot of times the story is kind of one of our last things that we talk about. And for listeners, if you haven't checked it out, I'm going to do a little promotion here. So Don, in addition to the stories that he shares here, is a prolific writer, and there is a blog on the Songwalk Echoes website called The Echo. And it is just that you have such great talent, Don, in writing, and a perfect balance of like I've shared with you in the past, this wit with wisdom, and it's just so wonderful. So I always look forward. I always look forward to reading anything and all of the stories and all the reflections that you have. Now, all that being said, and listeners, Don, in preparation for these shows, he'll send me little, okay, here's going to be the scripture passage, and this, you know, the song is going to be called this. And then the stories, sometimes, you know, he'll tell me, okay, what the story's about. And other times he just gives me a title, okay? So for today's story, all I got was Toys R Us, okay? And I can't wait to hear the connection now that you're going to make, because I guarantee you it's going to be back to my with your blog too. It's going to be a perfect balance of something clever, because you just can't throw out a toy store and then bring it all back to Jesus here. So we're going to do that. So it's going to be a perfect balance of this wit and wisdom. So tell us about the story of Toys R Us.
It's a story that's similar to the story that the Holy Father talked about his father. Hmm. And I'm recalling back when my oldest son was 5 years old. And we, at the time, the Timberwolves had just signed a superstar with a multi-million dollar contract. Wow, multi-million dollar contract. And here I am, a dad with a first son, and scraping by and bringing him to Toys R Us, maybe not even to get him a toy, but just to have a little time.
Something to do.
Yeah, yeah, something to do, exactly. So we went into Toys R Us, and there he was, the superstar that the Timberwolves had signed. And I said, Michael, and I knelt down right next to him, and I said, to see that man, see him over there? Look up several feet, that guy way up there. That man, if he wanted to, could buy every toy in this store. And Michael looked at me confused, and he looked at me and said, well, so could you. Yeah. And that just reminded me, again, of the perspective of a five-year-old to his father. What they see, yeah, and who we really are is so notably different. But I wonder what that's like for us to be looking at our father, you know, the creator of the universe, who could do anything. Mm-hmm. But also who would kneel down and take us to the toy store.
Say, yeah, and yet he chooses to take us to a toy store.
Yeah, yeah. Or as Pope Francis said, brought me ice cream.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful.
Again, so the nearness, wonderful. Yeah, and the distance of the notion of fatherhood.
Yeah, it's great. Well, all right, well, Don, you've given us a lot to process, and we didn't even get to the rest of the show notes, just so everybody knows. So we might have to have a little extended cut here to get to some of the other stuff. But let's, just in the spirit of a little bit of timeliness and for people to be able to get out of their cars now and go to work as they're listening to this as they commute to work or something like that. Give us something to end with here. We end each episode with our little our song, our echo point. And so give us one thing here that we can take with us through the rest of the day and the week.
Well, last week we were invited to pray for and consider our own fathers. Mm-hmm. Maybe this week, let's take some time to acknowledge our relationship with the Father and to approach that first with some reverence for how almighty he is, but also take a risk to be a child in mm-hmm. front of that Father. Take a risk to know that he'll bring you the ice cream and that he'll bring you to Toys R Us.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you, Don. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And stay tuned for our next episode of the Song Walk Echoes podcast. And in the meantime, keep a song walk in your own heart for the beauty and the brilliance of our Catholic faith.
You've been listening to the Song Walk Echoes podcast. For small group resources related to this podcast and more, visit songwalkechoes.com.